Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Fellowship on Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, so it's a beautiful sunny day here in Denver, Littleton area. Even though it's below zero, the sun's actually melting the snow where it's hitting the pavement, believe it or not, and it's melting off the cars. That's how strong the sun is here. Well, good morning. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. And it's interesting that in manifestations it came up that fear was like a wildfire. And it's been that way in this country for the last year. People are afraid of this. They're afraid of COVID. They're afraid of whatever. Afraid of this and that, and afraid of the government, afraid of the election, afraid of their own shadow. But we don't need to be afraid. And in this section in Matthew chapter 25, let me start the beginning. In verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country, who called his own servants, and he departed and delivered unto them goods. And basically, he was going to go on a business trip, and he looked at some of his employees had like a lot of talent, and some had not so much talent. It's like, you know, in a business, you know, you'll have somebody that is really good, maybe doing this thing, but when you put these people together as a team, they work really good together, and you can get a lot of things done. And so he gave people money according to their ability. And some had ability at five, some had ability at three, some had ability at two or whatever. I always like little kids, you know, you say, how old are you? They say, I'm three. And they hold up two fingers.
No, they say, I'm free.
Yeah, yeah. Gotta love that. But anyway, he gave it to him, and we know the story. We've heard this before. And the guy with five, he went out and made five more. And the guy with three went out and made three more. And the guy with two went out and made two more. And there was one guy that had one. And he said, oh, the Lord, my master, he's a tough guy. And, you know, if I don't do well with his talent, he's not going to be happy with me. So I'm kind of afraid. So I'm going to go bury this in the ground and hide it. And then the master came back, and the guy that had five mate turned it into ten. The guy that had three turned it into six, and the guy that had two, and then he got to the guy that had one and did nothing with it. And he said, you are evil and you are slothful. Hi, Christine.
Hi, good morning.
And we're already in the teaching. You can just listen along. And so the guy that had the one talent, he did nothing with it. Well, see, what's my point of bringing this up this morning? The point is we all have talents. And this is a time, remember in manifestations, I'll say it again. The Father said, fear is being blown like a wildfire. And this is a time where the devil spirit kingdom is moving. And God needs people to take a stand. You know, and I know there's ministers out there that have a whole lot more talent than I have, but I need to be faithful to the level I have. And each of you need to be faithful to the level of talent that you have. You know, and if you're a five or you're a one or a two or whatever, it doesn't matter. We just go out and we do what we can for God. We're not doing it for a church or a ministry. Like in the old days, we used to go out and make more money for whatever group we were with. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with groups. But this is about standing with God. And God needs people to stand. And, you know, you need to just go to God and say, God, what can I do to stand more? You know, maybe you want to run a home fellowship. Maybe you want to just talk to the people next door that you haven't talked to in 3 years and say, you know, how are you doing today? You know, what can I do for you? So let's go to Isaiah chapter 41. So this is back in the Old Testament. What was it they used to say? This is the patriotic book of the Bible. Isaiah, can you see? Okay. So I was watching a video last night. I like to watch weird videos on YouTube, and I sometimes will post them on Facebook. And there was a guy giving a discussion on cognitive dissonance. And cognitive means understanding, and dissonance means it's like notes don't go to good together. It's
oxymoron,
like
almost.
Well, no, it's actually not an oxymoron, no, but it's like if you play a chord on guitar, like if I just do this, I'm gonna reach up and hit this, if I just go, you know, that didn't sound very good. Because it wasn't notes of a chord being played together. But if you play a root, and you play a third, and a fifth, and an octave, suddenly you've got a major chord, and it's this beautiful, you know, sorry my singing voice isn't that good, but it's consonants, which means the notes agree with each other, and dissonance means they disagree. So when sometimes if you're ever talking with people and you say something like, well, you know, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they look at you like, huh? That's cognitive dissonance. Their mind can't relate to that. They have trouble understanding it. And they said one of the ways of getting past cognitive dissonance is you will use a joke. Sometimes humor can break down the wall when you're trying to reach somebody and they have trouble understanding you. So that's why one of the reasons I tell my corny jokes. So in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, it says, have a lot of fear, for I am with thee. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's not what it says. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen ye. I will strengthen thee. I'm sorry. Got to read what's written. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And in verse 13 here, for I am the Lord thy God. I will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I will help thee. And again in verse 14, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and men of Israel. And basically, we're just, you know, by the five senses, we're not much. You know, we're just a little bit of dirt and water, you know, and the body lasts a while, and we, you know, and it's interesting. I was watching another video on YouTube yesterday about Babe Ruth. I mean, there's a guy who literally single-handedly changed the entire game of baseball. Baseball before then, they would swing the bat down, they would hit the ball into the ground, they would bounce it through the infield and try and beat out a single. The next guy would bunt him along, or he would steal second base, then they'd try and bunt him over the third, and then they'd get him in with another bunt, and it was very rudimentary. And they would incrementally try to move the guy around the bases. And Babe Ruth came along and says, well, you know, I'm just going to swing for the fences. I got this big, he would use about a 40-inch long bat that weighed 42 ounces that's bigger and longer than anything anybody uses today. And he swung for the fences, and he hit the ball out of the park. And one year, the first year he played in the field, and also he was one of the greatest pitchers ever. He had incredible ability. But he literally changed the game, and then because of him, they went from using a dead baseball to a live baseball that would go farther when you hit it. And next thing you know, he was hitting 50, 60 home runs. And he was revered almost as a demagogue. And he was like one. He was more popular than the president. Well, considering some of the presidents we have, I can understand that. But He literally, but yet I saw a video of him in like a few years later. He was 52 years old and he was dying of cancer, and he had walked out on the field and he had to use that bat that he had literally changed the game with. He used it like a cane because he had trouble walking. He was so sick and he was dying of cancer. And so by our flesh, we can be strong for a while, but our flesh eventually will fail us. But what makes us strong, what makes us have that 5 talent, 3 talent, 2 talent, whatever, is the God in Christ in us. That's what gives us the strength to stand against the devil and resist him. And that's our strength. And then when God helps us, he reinforces that God in Christ in us. So let's go to Isaiah 55. And Isaiah 55, and for the most part, we don't see this big enough. We don't really understand this. Our puny little minds can't understand this. We can't grasp it fully. But when we speak the Word of God, it has a spiritual impact that we don't see. Sometimes we see it in the five senses, but sometimes we don't. And it says here in 55, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my way are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither." You know, that's a word we need to bring back into colloquial English, thither.
Thither.
Thither. I just love thither. Thither, thither. But anyway, but watereth, and watereth, and doesn't water the earth, it watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud. Sometimes I clean it up and just say water and make, but whatever. "And that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." Excuse me. We speak the word. You know, why does God need us to speak the word? I don't know why. Why didn't he just speak it himself? But some reason God set it up this way. He needs people to stand, go stand and speak. He needs us to do this. And it's a small thing, and he rewards us for it. So, you know, if God wants it, someday we'll understand this all fully. I don't fully understand it, but that's the way God set it up, and that's what he wants. "For ye shall go out with fear and be led forth with war, and terrible things are going to happen." Nope, that's not what it says. "You shall go forth with joy, be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands." We got this wonderful tree in my front yard. It's an aspen tree. And when the wind blows, the little leaves will do like this, and they go... Can you hear that? And it sounds like somebody clapping when it's a windy day, you know, so that's nature clapping for sons of God.
My favorite Greek.
So let's go to Psalm, the very first Psalm. Go backwards a few pages here. Psalm 1, verse 1. It's the first psalm because it's the very best of them all. No, it isn't. I'm just saying that. So, Psalm 1. Verse 1. It says, "Cursed is the man that walketh..." No, "blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Boy, you want to hear Scornful, turn on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, ABC, NBC, CBS, etc., etc., etc. Boy, you hear a lot of Scornful stuff these days. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the Word of God. In his law, or in God's Word, he does meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and shall bring forth fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. So when the bad times come, we're like the tree that's planted by the water. And the water symbolizes the Word of God. We plant our life in God's Word. And when bad times come, because there's always good times, life has seasons. Right now, the season is winter. We do a winter garden. My winter garden is pretty much dormant because it's pretty frozen. I got little spinach plants out there that as soon as it starts to warm up, they actually survive the winter. It's amazing that they survive being below zero. But when things warm up a little bit, they will start to grow. And sometimes in February we can harvest. This February is a little cold, so I probably won't. But when things are in season, you can harvest them. You know, when grapes, my grapevine is dormant right now. My cherry bush and my apple tree and peach tree are dormant right now. And there's times in life when there's times of plenty, and there's times in life when it's a drought. And God's called us to stand. And like right now, when the devil's spirit kingdom is moving, God's called us to stand and resist. We've had some things stolen from us. We literally had an election stolen from us. And a lot of other things were stolen. The devil's always wanting to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's go back a couple pages here in Job chapter 42. Right, my Bible, it's just on the other page right here. Chapter 42, verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, and also gave Job twice as much as he had. Now, we all know the story of Job. He had a lot of terrible things. Again, there was a great firestorm of fear that blew through his life, and it was horrible destruction, horrible devastation. But Job stayed faithful. And one of the things that delivered Job is he went out, instead of looking at himself and saying, woe's me, it's just terrible, I'm just going to sit here and piss and moan and just be sad because bad things are happening. No, he started praying for other people. In verse 12, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 4,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen. Basically, he gave him twice of everything that he had that he had lost. He got twice as much. And when you stay faithful to God, the adversary sometimes can sneak in and steal. But God will bless you, and you'll end up with more. So one more section of scripture. Go backward a little farther to 2 Kings. Chapter 7. I was going to read this whole chapter, but I'm going to skim through it a little bit. There was a war going on, and Samaria was being besieged. In the Old Testament there was two kingdoms. There was 10 tribes was the kingdom of Israel, and 2 tribes were the kingdom of Judah. Well, this was the kingdom of Israel, which was their seat of the crown for that kingdom was in Samaria. And there was a war going on, and they were being besieged, and that's one of the things they would do in a war is they would just, because they lived in walled cities, they had defense. And so they're in their walled city and they're running out of food and water. And so that's the story here. Let's read in verse 1. And then Elijah said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." And then there was a guy who was the servant of the king. He leaned on the king's hand. Basically, he was the king's go-to guy. You know, when he needed something done, this guy was right there, and he'd send him, and he'd do it. Well, the king here was not a really good king. One of the things you find is most kings are not good. And like in our day and time, pretty much most politicians are evil people. And some of them are evil, and some of them are really evil. And then you got the bad ones. Yes, there are a few godly politicians. It's like in the Old Testament, they had a few godly kings. There was a few of them that were good men and godly. But for the most part, people that... and the reason why you see this is we know from Luke chapter 4, I've taught this before, you guys remember, the devil took Jesus up to a great mountain. He said, "This is the entire kingdoms of the world. I'll give you all of this if you worship me." And so most of the people that get into positions of political power worship Satan. Because that's what the Bible says. Because he said that I put them in place. Those that worship me, you know, those are the ones I give power to. And he offered that to Jesus Christ. And Jesus just kind of laughed at him and said, "Get behind me, jerk. Go take a long walk on a short pier. You know, I ain't going to worship you. You ain't worth it. You're not worth my time. Get thee behind me, Satan." And that's what we say. So anyway, that's the kind of guy the king was. And this guy that was waiting on the king was even more evil. And so, behold, and so he's basically mocking. He says, he's mocking Elijah for saying this. He says, "You know, even if the Lord made the windows of heaven, how would this thing be?" And the man of God, the prophet, looked at the guy looked him right in the eye. And he said, "Look, you're going to see it, but you won't eat it. You know, you'll see it happen, but you won't eat anything thereof." In verse 3, one of my favorite verses of the entire Bible, my favorite one is, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." That's my favorite. But this is also one of my favorites. And there was 4 leprous men. In this society, you couldn't get any lower than being a leper. It was, we know leprosy now, and we discovered in the 20th century that leprosy was a bacterial infection, and that it can be cured with antibiotics and certain types of cleaning and so forth. You can prevent it. But back then, they didn't really know what it was, and when you had a leprosy, they knew it was contagious. Basically, you were an outcast. And so here there's 4 guys that are lepers. And they're at the gate. And they're talking to each other. And they said, "Well, why sit we here until we die? You know, if we go in the city, well, they're all running out of food there. And we're just starved there. If we sit here, we'll starve. If we go, let's go into the camp of Syria. And let's see what'll happen. You know, if they kill us, well, we're just going to die. If you're going to die, you're going to die. What's the difference? Does it make how it happens? You know, maybe we can get some food from them. Maybe they'll have pity on us poor lepers." And so they went out to the camp and look. Wait a minute. The camp's empty. Well, the Lord made them hear a great sound like an army approaching. And they all ran off in fear. And they got to the camp and it was empty. So they went into one tent and they ate. And they said, "Oh, wow, look at this. Nice clothing, gold, jewelry. Oh, look at this wonderful gold chalice. Look at this." Went to the next tent, more stuff. And they were just having a good old time. And they said, "You know, we're not doing a good thing here. We need to share this with the people back in the city. They think they're being besieged, and there's no army out here. So they went and they told him, and they didn't believe it. They sent guys out to look, and they said, yeah, it's true. So let's get down towards the end of the verse. There's 20 verses here. And let's see, where do I want to pick this up? So they went out, and So verse 16, we'll pick up there. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of the fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. See, it's one of the things I've seen in the last 6 months or years. A lot of these guys are going on the internet and they're prophesying, oh, this is going to happen. November 5th, this will happen. January 6th, this will happen. December 12th, this will happen. Well, March 4th, and then it doesn't happen. Well, the Lord, God says if a prophet prophesies something and it doesn't happen, then you don't really want to be paying much attention to that guy. But this prophet prophesied, and he said it was going to happen, and it did happen. And in verse 18, and it came to pass that the man of God had spoken to the king, saying two measures, so on, so on, at the gate. And the Lord, verse 19, and the Lord answered the man of God, saying, now, behold, the Lord shall make the windows of heaven be such, how, that's the only way you can have it, is if God opens the windows of heaven, that's the only way it can happen. And verse 20, that guy, he fell out, and the people trod upon him on the gate, and he died. So he saw it happen, and he was killed. And so the word of God was fulfilled. And that's what happens, is the people sometimes that are doing evil to us, God will recompense them evil back to them that they've done. And we don't, you know, it's justice is the Lord's. It's not ours to take care of that stuff. And there's a lot of evil people in our day and time. And you just go to Washington, D.C., and it's you can't throw a rock. I guess you shouldn't say that. You can't spit without hitting one of them. How's that? I mean, it's just, there's just so many of them. But, yeah, God will deliver us. And we don't have to be afraid of the fear the world has for us. We don't have to be afraid of, you know, it's the devil's just pulling stuff. He's always pulling stuff. And we're not nearly as bad a situation as those guys in Samaria, where they were being besieged. They were running out of food, and they were either going to starve to death or get killed by an army. It's like, well, which way do you want to die? Well, I don't want to die. I want to live. You know, we all want to live. We want to have, like it said in Isaiah, we can be led forth with joy, and we can have peace. That's what God's plan for us is, that we can have joy, and we can have peace, because we're speaking the word of God, and the word of God will accomplish those things. By our own strength, yeah, maybe we can do a few things, but by our own strength, we end up like, you know, that poor guy, Babe Ruth. He didn't even make it to 53 years old. I mean, he was an amazing man. Whoops, what did I do? I need my computer. There we go. He was an amazing man by the five senses with amazing physical abilities, but he wore out really fast, you know, and there was another guy on his team with him, Lou Gehrig, equally amazing athlete, not quite as flamboyant as a personality, and he also died young with a terrible disease. But see, we can live a long time, we can prosper, we can conquer terrible diseases. You know, God is he's the Lord that heals us. He's the Lord that upholds us with his right hand. He's the Lord that gets rid of our fear. He's the Lord that plants us by the living waters. So God will take care of us. You know, there's been a lot worse times than this. There'll be worse times in the future. And, you know, and some people say, well, you know, with these times being so bad, Christ must be about ready to return. Well, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. I welcome his return. I rejoice that he'll return. But it might be 10,000 years. Or it might be 10 seconds. Either of those is equally possible. So, I'm going to have a little word of prayer here, and then we'll give it a chance for people to chime in and so forth. So, let me close this with a word of prayer first. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the wonderful God that you are. And Father, give us strength. Father, make our fear melt away like the snow melts in the warm sunshine. Make our doubts and concerns go away like winter passes away and gives way to spring. And make the love of God shine in our hearts like the tulips coming up in spring, Father. And Father, give us strength. Give us prosperous in whatever we do, Father. And Father, heal our diseases. Help shore up our infirmities and our weaknesses. And make us that, instead of being the guy with one or two or three talents, strengthen us so we can be the guy with five talents and we can accomplish things for you. And Father, give us that abundant life. And we do rebuke the devil. I rebuke him from stealing. I rebuke him from killing. And I rebuke him from destroying. And Satan, get thee behind us and stay away from the Lord's people and leave the Christians in the United States and in the rest of the world alone. We rebuke you and we put our foot on your neck to hold you back. And I thank for this in the name of Jesus Christ.